branding and thought leadership again today with Vicky Sullivan, who talks English with a slightly different accent to what I do. So maybe you'll have to have like a twin track, you know, me in one ear, Vicky in the other. so yeah, we can understand each other, I think, which is a bonus. It's always a bonus. Vicky, how are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you so much for having me, Jonathan.
Excellent. So I'm interested to know, can you give us Vicky 101? Is that, can you give us 2 minutes on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I specialize in branding and market strategy for thought leaders and entrepreneurs in small and medium-sized B2B or business-to-business organizations. So what I do is I do some competitive analysis, some market analysis, and I find that particular place where someone's perspective will be the most valued.
So leverage, leverage.
Yes, 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 yes. A lot of my clients have a lot of options and they don't know which option to choose. And so I help them choose the best path so that they can build a sustainable business and also make a difference.
Make a difference in whatever respect they suggest, I guess.
Absolutely. What I find in the United States, and I think a lot of athletes are probably in this mindset as well, is they've enjoyed enough success that they want to give back, that they want to teach what they've learned, so to speak. And so that is a credible option for them. But again, because of their notoriety and the success that they've enjoyed, they have a lot of options on how to do that.
And a lot of people telling them what to do, I guess. A lot of people with vested interests suggesting.
Well, a lot of people that have no idea of the market.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the thing. I mean, the biggest barriers I think athletes have is they listen to folks who do not understand the nuances of the marketplace. And so while those people have their best interest at heart, they take a holistic view of the operations of the business, and the marketing and branding is pretty foreign.
So they're logistics guys and gals and getting stuff done, because that's good. That's what you want when you're an athlete or a...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you want someone you can trust. But, you know, you really want someone that you can trust and that have and has your best interest at heart. The problem with that, at least in the United States, is you have a balance between trusting someone and does that person have the competence to do what you need to do in a particular area. And that's tough, because if you go out of their area of expertise, well, you've got advice that you can trust, but it's the wrong advice. And it's not because the advisors are trying to hurt you in any way. They're just giving you the best they have. And unfortunately, sometimes the best is...
I did my best, yeah. But it's interesting that years ago when I was doing consulting, there was a great phrase that somebody put on, I think one of the contracts actually, one that I was working on. And it said, provide critical friend analysis. And I thought, what a great phrase that is. Critical friend analysis rather than friendly friend analysis.
Exactly. And I'm known for, you know, for really fighting for my clients and really caring and being invested in their success. But I'm also very blunt. And I'll tell them, I'll say, this is the wrong direction and this is why. And this is the trends that you're going to bump up against. And this is the category you don't want to be in, and you're putting yourself in there.
That's excellent. I mean, a friend is somebody who's going to tell you when you do something stupid.
Exactly. Bail you out when you do it anyway, you know?
Yeah. Come running in the middle of the night when you're doing it. Yeah, because you're doing it anyway. So what was I going to say before that? So who do you find is a what are the main problems, if you like, the firefighting before we get into the meat of the actual idea generation and idea filtration? What are the main issues that people bring to you?
Well, the biggest issue they bring to me is they want to teach what they've learned. They want to give back. A lot of athletes really have a heartfelt desire to have a sustainable place that they can use their skills. You know, they're looking for the next big thing. They have a measure of success. They want to leverage that spotlight. They want to leverage their success into something bigger and that also serves, you know. Mm. I have rarely met a selfish athlete, strangely enough. You know, they're not all egomaniacs. They're really not. There's some folks out there that really want to help others. And that's where my heart kind of gets into it. And so the problem they have is, it's particularly in the U.S. and maybe in the U.K., is what gets you there is can also be used against you, okay? Mm-hmm. So sometimes if you are a football player, you know, in your neck of the woods, people may you may have a reputation for something, and that reputation may be good for some types of thought leadership, but it will go against other types of thought leadership. You know, if you're, if you're seen as a bad boy or a bad girl, you may not be taken seriously by people you want to be taken seriously by. You know,
that's interesting. I mean, I suppose all sports are like that. The most famous example of that in recent years is Vinnie Jones, Welsh footballer, and he'd been when he retired, he was in gangster films. He was doing all sorts of hard man type of stuff. Now, he's not the kind of guy that's going to turn up on a charity thing saying send money for sick kids. He might, but that would be well out of character. He's an extreme case. So that's interesting. So,
Or send money to sick kids or I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'll come around with a hammer and kind of hit you. And kind of hit you. I mean,
that would stay strong to type. No?
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. So is it something that people can work on now? I mean, it sounds like that you've got to get started ahead of the game almost.
Absolutely. I think what you have to have is you just have to have awareness. You have to be aware. You got to ask yourself, is there going to be life after sports for me, or am I going to sit back and rehash my glory days? You know, and if I want a life after sports, what does that look like? Now, some people go into business. I mean, some athletes say, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I want to go into business with my partners and just be in business. And that's fine. That's absolutely okay. And those folks don't need me, to be blunt. I mean, they, you know, unless they want me to position their business, which I've done and I'm happy to do. But if you want to create something that that keeps you in the limelight so that you can do good things, then I'm pretty much your girl. And that is an option, but it's not the only option.
Right. Let me just make a so I'm with you on that. I mean, if you wanted to go be an art teacher or a geography teacher, then that's fine. Go do that. We have a concept called the awareness ladder. Let me give you an example. Let's suppose you are a volleyball player. Volleyball is quite a small community in global sporting terms, and you want to be a thought leader in world volleyball. Well, that's kind of not a very big market. You would have to go down a step and do something to, say, throwing and catching skills for kids and be the world leader in throwing and catching and basic ball skills for kids. Is that in your ballpark?
Well, websites are a tool to communicate a bigger message. What I would do with the volleyball player, and let's just kind of play around with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Is what I would do with the volleyball player is I'd say, what did you learn from volleyball and what do you want to do with that learning? Do you want to stick with volleyball training for kids, or do you want to take the broader lessons and create something more of a mass market? Or do you think that your leadership skills on the volleyball court can translate into other fields and talk about that?
Well, I'm guessing that there's no money in or little money in, and I'm not knocking coaching for kids.
But I'm guessing they want.
Of course, yeah, I've got very very philanthropic. I'm guessing though that there's not a lot of money in that. So let's focus on the other half of the equation, which is what did I learn in that? That could be traveling around the world. It could be meeting other people, different cultures, the whole behind the scenes thing of drug testing and all that kind of stuff. How do we take one of those?
Well, the first thing that you do is you have to lay a foundation of what I call the foundation of comparisons. Mm-hmm. What people do when they look at information and learning from people and who they choose to pay attention to, it's what I call an unconscious comparison. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they listen for a nanosecond and then they decide if they're going to continue to listen. Mm-hmm. And the criteria that they use to decide is they compare what they're hearing to what do they already know, what do they agree with, and what they can do with that information. Mm-hmm. So if you can pass those three tests, someone will continue to listen to you and engage with you. Mm-hmm. They will take action with you. But you have to have, do they agree with you? Can they use your information? Is it intriguing to them? You know, that kind of thing. Mm. And if you don't compare well in two of those three things, you're out. Mm. And it doesn't matter how famous you are, because there's too many famous people out there, you know, doing things.
The world don't need any more famous people. That's for sure.
Yeah.
The world can manage without any more famous people. Sorry.
Right. Exactly. And one of the barriers, I think, you know, going back to the barriers, one of the barriers that athletes face is they have to understand that they are special, but not unique. Mm,
good.
You know, they are special in that they have talent. They are special in that they have done wonderful things, but they are not unique in the wonderful things that they've done, because there's other people out there that have also done wonderful things. Mm. And so what happens in the marketplace of ideas or the marketplace of thought leadership is that you have all these wonderful people in the same space. Mm-hmm. So if you have a bunch of wonderful people, your wonderfulness is less unique.
Mm, diluted, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Instead of hanging out in a group of silly people, then your wonderfulness is unique, you know? And so the biggest transition that athletes need to make is they need to use their specialness, but be aware that they're not unique where they're going. And so that's a very different mindset, and it takes some training, and it takes some constant awareness to remember that.
Not unique where they're going. Explain that. Explain that again, Vicky.
Okay, sure. I want you to think about it. When you get to the marketplace of ideas, when you get into the spotlight, who is in the spotlight? Cool people doing cool stuff. Mm. Therefore, you're not the only cool person doing cool things. You're one of many.
Yep.
So you're special because of what you've done, but you are not unique because there are other people that have done wonderful things too.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that a lot of athletes go into thought leadership thinking, but I did all these wonderful things. Of course, people are going to listen to me. No, they're not. Mm. They're going to listen to you for a nanosecond because you're now entering a place where everybody has done something wonderful and we can't listen to all of them.
That's true. So we've got to tune it out based on the criteria which you outlined.
Exactly. And so the awareness that you are special but not unique is easier said than done. And you really have to put, and this is very hard for some athletes, you have to put your ego aside. You have to be very grounded. And you know, if you're not that, then, you know, and we were teasing about this off record, go get a job, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you can do all sorts of things. You've got partners that will help you sell automobiles here in the United States. Mm. You know, we've got athletes that have opened up entire businesses and have done very, very well. Mm. And so you can do that. You can totally do that. But if you want to teach what you've learned, you have to be aware of those. You have to be aware that you're special but not unique, number one. And then number two, you have to be aware of how you compare. And you use those comparisons to decide what you're going to represent. What message are you going to represent? So let's go back to the volleyball player.
Yep.
Okay, the first thing that volleyball player is going to do is if they've decided that they want to be a thought leader, they've got to decide what you know, what have they, what are the big lessons then of what they've done? Now I'm going to make stuff up. Okay.
Yeah. Let's just wing it. Let's just make a worked example that hopefully somebody can come along and then just change a few words around and they've got almost like a worked plan.
Exactly. Mm. Let's say that volleyball player has had a career where they've had to do a lot of changing. Mm. That it was a very volatile career full of ups and downs. Mm. Okay. Well, you know what? They're not the only one that's ever experienced that. They could be a personification of how do you navigate when the situation is constantly changing.
Yeah.
That could be intriguing. So what they're doing is they're using their experience and they're saying, my experience is similar to your experience. It's the same story, different details. Mm-hmm. Let's share what we've learned here.
And because I'm a volleyball player, I've got this experience of going around the world and it's not just the same. And this is going back to, it's not your fault, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, what they're saying is, if I can go through these ups and downs, so can you.
Can you, yeah.
And so if I can go through these ups and downs, let me share what I've learned so that you can use them in your situation. Mm. That could be intriguing. Mm. Okay. Mm. And so so that could be a really interesting and intriguing element of resilience. So what you do is you show how your environment or what you've done has similarities to what other people are going through, and you base your positioning or your branding off of those similarities. So you're reaching out to the marketplace and saying, look, I'm not alone. We're not alone here. I've been in your shoes. Instead of teaching kids how to play volleyball, let's teach people how to persevere. Mm. Okay. Mm. That's a much bigger market.
It absolutely is. And I was just going to say, on the next thing down, maybe it's the next thing down, is that we go through our personal diary, training log or whatever, and every time we write or read the word resilience, we get a highlighter pen and highlight it, and they're all our little bullet points and stories, what we're starting to pull out.
Absolutely. And then what someone like me does is we take those stories and we say, okay, based upon what is already being said about resilience, what can you add to that conversation? Mm. And the key word is add. You have to add something. You can't merely repeat it. Mm. A lot of athletes repeat. They don't add to the conversation. And so I get very blunt with folks about that. You cannot repeat. You must add. Mm. Because if you don't add and you repeat, then you become one of many.
And boring. Is that because they don't have consultants like me and you? They don't know any better?
Exactly. Yeah. So what their handlers will say is, oh, you can say anything. No, you can't. Mm. No, you can't. Because if you sound like everybody else, you will become one of many, and no one can be in that category and be sustainable.
That's the road to commodityness.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Once you become a commodity, you have damaged all the wonderful things that you have done. And it's very hard to get out of that box. And one of the things that I do is I have a market assessment, and I can assess to the extent someone has become a commodity. And if they have, they can get out of that box, but they have to understand that they've dug a hole for themselves and they're going to have to dig themselves out.
Which sounds like a bit of hard effort and manual labor.
Well, let me tell you, I charge extra for that.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah, of course. Okay.
I tease people all the time. I say my repair jobs are much more expensive.
Okay, so where have we got to now in this? So we've got a thing. We've got something to hang the whole thing on. We've got a whole load of stories, case studies, nuggets, if you like. You've kind of polished them off, knocked out the ones that are no good. Where do we go? Where do we go next?
Well, the first thing, then once you've got your positioning and your market direction, now you build what I call infrastructure. Mm. which is the website, the marketing tools. You need a plan that's going to engage people, that are going to allow them to join forces with you. Now, here in the United States, people love to learn about themselves. Okay, I don't know about the UK.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
We're fascinated with ourselves.
Yeah.
And so one thing that you can really do, and let's, you know, carry on with the volleyball player and perseverance, is you could have like an online quiz or some kind of diagnostic tool that says you can go through anything, or, hey, you get derailed a little bit too often. Think about this or think about that. That engages people. That allows people to learn about themselves using your perspective.
So the
next thing you have to do, once you've created the perspective and you've got the brand and market direction, the question you answer is, how can people engage with me? How can we provide value that will allow people to be so excited that they pass this along to their friends? And so that's where the website comes in. That's where social media comes in. That's where traditional media comes in. You have to decide, and this is creative as much as it is strategic. It's art as much as it is science. And you need to take a look at how you are going to engage. A lot of athletes and a lot of, you know, successful people think, well, I can just talk to people and that's enough. No, it is not. Okay. We no longer have one-way information campaigns where you just give information and people take it and they applaud. That's not happening anymore. It's now a two-way conversation. So you've got to have ways for people to share their stories. So maybe the volleyball player creates a website called icanpersevere.com. And so this is going to be a platform where people share their stories, but it's within the context of the perception or the perspective. So this is a way now for people to engage. A lot of thought leaders put up websites that are all about them. I think the future will be built on platforms where people use the perspective to help themselves and share their awareness.
It's really interesting now. A lot of TV programs are promoting the hashtag about it. The other day over here, it was Sports Personality of the Year. And obviously, that's a massive tweet fest.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are saying, hey, if you're watching the match, then Instagram is your photograph of where you're doing and what you're doing. And
absolutely.
That's just
engagement.
That's
engagement.
Absolutely,
they're getting people to do things.
Absolutely.
And Twitter is fabulous for that. Instagram is fabulous for that. Absolutely. But strategically, look at what they're doing. They're saying, instead of just watch our game, they're saying be involved in the game.
Be involved. Tell us. And that, I suppose that's audience research as well, isn't it? You know, where are people watching it? What are people doing? Who are they watching it with? Friends, family, etc.
Data. What a concept.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, remarkable, yeah.
I mean, really, absolutely. They're getting all sorts of data from that, and they're making people part of the experience. So I think that's going to be the next phase of thought leadership, is how do you engage people and make them part of the perspective?
That's a question. That is a question and a half, that.
That's where the future's going. I'm telling you, the thought leadership will be built on platforms. It will not be one way anymore. Now, but you have to have a lot of strategy. You have to identify the perspective so that people know what they're engaging in. All right. And that takes a lot of strategy and market analysis in and of itself. But moving forward, a long answer to your short question about what to do next. All right. Moving forward, that infrastructure will be very different than it is right now. Right now, we have billboard sites. Here's who I am. Here's how great I am. Here, get some free stuff from me. No. I think
novelty. That's the novel. People getting an email is no longer a novelty.
Exactly. And those websites are good if people want to learn more about the perspective. I mean, that's really good. But the thought leadership will be built on platforms of engagement. where you include people in the experience of learning.
Yes. Yeah. Well, just about as an aside, this is how at odds this is with traditional business models. I know a guy who wrote a bit of a right angle, but he wrote like an online game which our kids have played, and you kind of log on and you get a free account, and you can then upgrade and pay money via PayPal for extra bullets and swords and bombs and all that kind of stuff. And he got thousands of users via he got £100 Google AdWords voucher, and just did that. And then it's tell a friend, it's tell a buddy, tell your next door neighbor, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your cat, mm-hmm. tell your dog. And he went to a competition, a kind of a Shell Livewire competition. And one of the questions was, have you considered traditional advertising? Well, why would he want to do that when he's got there's so many thousand people engagement from just a Google AdWords, £100 Google AdWords voucher. And it's just that was at odds with traditional thinking of putting adverts on back of buses and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
The old world just doesn't get it.
No, they don't. And I think it's a change. It's a big change. Mm. And it requires awareness. It requires the awareness that we are special but not unique.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, that's where it all comes from. If you realize that you are special but not unique, that allows you to reach out. That allows you to share the spotlight. That allows you to say, how can we create something bigger together?
So I know
you have to have that awareness or it won't work.
We just got a couple of minutes left. I just wondered if you got any thoughts on the next 5, 10, 2 years of this, and or months or weeks, I guess, because things are moving very fast. Take your volleyball player. What would they need to be having placed by this time next year or 2 years' time? Or what does the future hold for all this?
I think the marketplace of ideas is going to become so noisy that it's going to take a lot more to break through. And I have a very dark view. I call it short trips to the dark side. You want to go there, but don't stay there because you'll go nuts. I think what's going to happen is we're going to see an escalation of bad behavior in our mass markets. Mm-hmm. And I think that bad behavior will continue to be rewarded. And because it gets attention. And my fear, I don't know if this will happen, but my fear is this will spill over into the thought leadership market. And I don't know if Miley Cyrus has crossed the pond, so to speak.
Oh, we know about her, yeah.
See, I mean, that kind of silliness. Mm. The Kardashians, that kind of silliness.
Yeah.
You know, the mass markets right now are rewarding bad behavior.
They absolutely are, yeah. That is true. There's a, well, I would say maybe US audience has maybe not heard, but yeah, absolutely. There's a, each TV show, each reality TV show has a judge who is bad, rude, bad-mannered, awkward, difficult. It's replaced pantomimes. I know you guys maybe don't have pantomimes as much as what we do, but it's the new pantomime.
Yes. And so my concern is, at what point is that going to spill over to this market? And you're starting to see a little bit of it where people are, you know, positioning themselves as the bad boy or the bad girl. And I just, my fear is it's going to spill over. And I don't know. I hope it doesn't, but my fear is it will.
Well, it does in kind of high-profile crimes, doesn't it? That's where
the harder it becomes to get attention, the more crazy we will become to get that attention. So I think that there's a couple of factors coming in. First off, the market is noisy, noisy, noisy. So it's not going to be about the great idea. It's going to be more about how do people engage with that great idea, because what gets ignored becomes invisible. And if you are invisible, it's like you never happened.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. So a great idea is not a great idea until someone hears it and engages with
it. It's like a tree falling down in the forest, isn't it?
Exactly.
Nothing. It doesn't happen.
It did not happen. Absolutely. Mm. Another thing that I see is I see analytics becoming center stage because it in the quest of getting attention, you're going to have to really have an emotional reaction to your work. And that's where people like me come in. Mm. You know, if I tell people all the time, in order to get attention in today's market, you have to have an emotional reaction. In fact, one of my clients is a first-time author, and she got a book deal, which is unheard of in the U.S. because publishers do not want to deal with first-time authors because they're now so risky in a very risky market. Mm. But this woman got her book deal because there is such an emotional reaction to her perspective. So I think people are going to go for the visceral. I see that coming up in the future. It's not, we're not going to address our minds as much as we address our hearts. And so it's got to be aspirational versus inspirational. I think that train is leaving the station. Mm. And so I see some good things coming up, but I also see a little bit of the dark side too.
That's unfortunately, I think we agree on that one. That's excellent. Very, very interesting. Very, very thought-provoking. How can we contact you, Vicky? What's your best way to get a hold of you, get on your list?
Go to my website, VickySullivan.com, and that's Vicky with V-I-C-K-I-E. Yep. My last name is spelled S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N.com. You can sign up for my market analysis. I send out a digest every 2 weeks, and it's equally thought-provoking. I get a lot of folks on Facebook, you know, talking to me about it. And so, again, I got a bunch of free stuff on my website. So if you want, you know, to learn more about thought leadership and what's going on out there, I've got over 150 pages of free stuff. Just help yourself.
Excellent. Brilliant. Vicky, I know you pushed for time, so let's can it there. And VickySullivan.com, VickySullivan, and we'll link to it below.
Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you, Vicky.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Take care now.
Okay, bye.
Bye.